It's introduced by its writer.
My name's Mike Poulton, and I'm the author of the play Kenny Morgan, which is my adaptation of Terence Rattigan's probably most famous play, The Deep Blue Sea. Terence Rattigan was sexually drawn to boyish-looking young men in their late teens and twenties. He had a tempestuous affair with a young actor called Kenny Morgan, who had received a Most Promising Newcomer Award from the British film industry in 1940. For 10 years, they had an on-off relationship. So I began to investigate who were the real characters involved. As I read more deeply, I found that the way that Rattigan dealt with all the problems of his life was to convert them into plays. And I wrote my own version of the play that I thought Rattigan might have been able to write had he been open about his sexuality.
Princess Elizabeth and Prince Charles have returned from Malta. This evening, Her Royal Highness will attend a function with the King's Queen, hosted by Mr. Edwin of Downing Street.
Alec, before I took the sleeping pills, I knew exactly what I wanted to say. Now those moving, pretty words don't seem to be there. I think that's because this time I know I really am going to die. You'll want to know why, and I'd so like to make you understand. But to understand what I'm doing now, you must feel even a small part of what I'm feeling now. And that I know you can never do. It isn't your fault. You can't help being as you are. I can't help being as I am. The fault lies with whichever of the gods had himself a good laugh by arranging for the two of us to meet. Forgive my bad writing. I think perhaps the drug is beginning to work. Goodbye. Kenny.
Kenny Morgan by Mike Poulton, inspired by Terence Rattigan's play The Deep Blue Sea.
Mrs. Simpson! Mrs. Simpson!
Is that you, Mr. Lloyd?
You better get upstairs. There's a smell coming from one of the rooms. I think I can smell gas.
Gas?
Number 4, a smell of gas.
Oh, wouldn't you just know it? I'm coming up. Oh, number 4 would be, wouldn't it? Mr. Lennox! Mr. Morgan! Mr. Lennox, are you in there? Mr. Morgan! Anybody in? Oh, they're not answering.
Mr. Lennox! Oh, do you have a spare key, Mrs. Simpson?
Always trouble. Always number 4. What's Mr. Arthur Norris going to say? Turn him out, I shouldn't wonder. Oh, what a stink. They'll have left the cooker on or the guest fire.
Stay out there. Let me open the windows. Don't touch the light switch. And don't, whatever you do, strike any matches.
I'm not a ninny, Mr. Lloyd. Are the curtains still drawn? in the morning. The neighbours will think it's a funeral. They'll start storing the road next. I'll stay out here until the air clears a bit. There's the gas rings on the cooker in the corner. That's what you'll be. Well, they've gone out and left the tap of the gas fire half on.
It might be a leak. Perhaps we should telephone the gas board. Oh, the taps are off on the cooker.
Everything was seen to when they put the new meters in. Now, young Master Lennox will have come in, worse for drink as usual, turned on every blessed tap. What's going? Somebody will blow the whole house to bits one of these fine days, and I know who it'll be. Hitler couldn't manage it, but that pair of... Oh, my.
What is it?
There, by the fireplace. On the hearth rug.
Good heavens. Who is it?
Is he? He's not... Is he?
Is it Mr. Morgan? I'll...
You have a look. I'll turn the wireless off.
Yes. It's Mr. Morgan.
Cover him up, will you? He's not decent. We don't want no police. He's not dead, is he?
No. There's a pulse.
Last thing we need. The gas fire's turned on. Better turn it off before you go any further.
There's no gas escaping.
It's on, I tell you. Look. On. The tap's on.
The meter. Must have run out.
And cut off the supply. That's what's done it.
Will you... Look, will you just help me move him over to the window?
I'm not touching him. He's in his underpants.
Mrs. Simpson, please.
Oh, he's frozen. Here. Throw this over him. Oh. You know what he's done? Don't you?
We mustn't jump to conclusions, Mrs. Simpson.
Only tried to do away with himself, that's what.
You can't possibly say that. It must have been some sort of accident.
Oh, he turned on the gas, see? So, why didn't he put a match to the fire? There's matches on the mantelpiece here. That's no accident. Can't say I'm surprised, neither.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Well, he's sort.
What sort is that, Mrs. Simpson?
I'm saying nothing. As long as they pay their rent, is what Mr. Arthur Norris says. Live and let live. Has his lips gone blue?
No.
Has his face turned pink? They sometimes go pink with gas. You're not thinking of reporting it, are you?
No. Reporting it to whom?
The police. What that boy's done is a crime.
Really, Mrs. Simpson, I think it might be best if you just...
Suicide's a criminal offence.
Well, it's not suicide. He hasn't killed himself, has he?
He's tried to. They put you in jail for it.
Anyway, I'm not calling the police. Even if I thought...
Mr. Simpson, are you in there?
I wouldn't come in just yet if I were you. There's been an accident.
What sort of an accident, Mr. Lloyd?
Mr. Ritter, good morning.
Good morning. Mrs. Simpson, what's going on?
Oh, Mr. Ritter, thank the Lord. It might be as well if you'd come and take a look at Mr. Morgan here. You being a doctor.
Not a doctor, Mrs. Simpson, as I've often tried to explain.
Well, you know about medicine, don't you?
Is this how you found him?
No, he was lying in front of the gas fire. I thought it best to move him near the window, get some fresh air into his lungs.
Quite right, Mr. Lloyd. Lying there with the gas turned on?
No.
No, but it had been. That was the idea. Only the meter ran out. It's no good trying to keep it dark, Mr. Lloyd. He'll only find out anyway. You can't keep a secret in this house.
Not if you have anything to do with it, eh, Mrs. Simpson?
See what I see? Huh? Over there, by the chair.
Looks like a bottle of pills.
It'll be sleeping tablets. That's what that'll be.
You may be right. Empty? And a glass of water next to him.
Well, that settles it. More evidence. He's tried to dope himself unconscious with the pills and turn the gas on just to make doubly sure.
Oh, poor fellow.
Where is his friend?
I've no idea. Honestly, don't know much about him. Neither of them, in point of fact. The bed's not been slept in.
Somebody should look for him.
I have to go to work. I'm already late. I suppose it's an emergency after all.
You work for the diplomatic, don't you?
Admiralty.
A clerk. Huh?
Clerical officer, that's right.
Oh, Lord, there's a mop and a bucket under the sink.
I'll fetch it.
Just the bucket. We won't need the mop if you're quick.
Mr. Morgan?
He's opened his eyes.
Who's to pay for it?
Mr. Morgan?
Is he coming back to us?
Certainly.
Mr. Morgan, it's all right. You've had some sort of accident.
Oh, I feel rotten.
You're not making much sense, I'm afraid. Don't worry, Mr. Morgan. We'll all do what we can for you. Mr. Ritter's here and Mrs. Simpson.
Oh, Christ, I really am going to be...
That's all right, old chap.
Can't you give him something, Mr. Ritter?
Yes, sir. I'll fetch my bag.
If he's dunked himself up, he might slip away and never wake up again. But then it might be for the best. His type. Musical. Though it mean the police then, no mistake.
I do wish you wouldn't say such things.
It's a free country. We've no Hitlers over here telling us what to think and say. Thank the Lord.
I'm well aware of it, Mrs. Simpson. Worked long and hard to keep Hitler and his kind out.
Yes, from behind a desk. We all of us did our little bit.
Has he said anything else?
Nothing that made sense.
His mind is wandering.
Mr. Morgan, how many pills did you take?
He's opening his eyes.
Answer me. How many?
I don't remember.
Is the bedroom through there?
Yes.
Would you help me?
Of course.
Mrs. Simpson? I need some hot water, please, and a bucket.
I'll put the kettle on, but I'll need a shilling for the gas meter.
Here.
Oh, thank you. There's a letter on the floor with a name on it. Alec Lennox, Esquire. Hadn't you better be off to work, Mr. Lloyd?
I'll telephone them in a minute.
It's all right for Sam.
Mr. Ritter seems to know what he's doing.
Of course he does. He's a doctor, isn't he? Well, he's struck off. He's a Jew, too. Well, he would be, wouldn't he? His real name's Yacoubi. Jewish name, if ever you heard one. But he knows his job all right.
I wonder what made him do it.
Mr. Morgan, you mean? Oh, he'll soon know. When the other one comes back... Look what I found on the floor. He left a letter.
Is it addressed to anybody?
The other one. Alec Lennox, Esquire. Do you think we should open it?
I must certainly do not.
Oh, I'll put it here on the mantelpiece. It's evidence. If he doesn't pull through, we'll have to hand it in.
Of course he'll pull through.
Perhaps we should call the police after all. Put ourselves in the clear.
I don't follow.
Say what you like, but there's been a crime committed here. More than one, I should say.
You must do as your conscience tells you, Mrs. Simpson. But we should try and get in touch with somebody. Let's see. There's an address book somewhere.
Oh, I'm touching nothing. We shouldn't lay ourselves open. Besides, he was expecting Mr. Lennox to come back, wasn't he? He wrote that letter.
Mr. Lennox is an actor, isn't he?
Not one I've heard of.
What does Mr. Morgan do?
Oh, it'll be something theatrical. He has a theatrical walk to him. Though he doesn't seem to do anything at all. Shut in here most of the day. But he has money, or has had. Have you seen the clothes he wears? Oh, I always notice their shoes. John Lobb of German Street.
Oh, how is he, Mr. Ritter?
Some hot water?
Oh, I've just boiled some on the hob. I'll fetch it.
Thank you, Mrs. Simpson.
Oh, I say.
What have you found?
His book of telephone numbers.
Mr. Lennox's?
Mr. Morgan's.
Oh, that's a bit of luck. Anything in it?
Yes, telephone numbers.
Anyone we can call?
Well, yes, actually. Look, here on the front page, Terence Rattigan, F2, the Albany. You know who that is, don't you, Mrs. Simpson?
Of course I do. He's never out of the papers. One of the silk dressing gown and cigarette holder brigade. Well, I never. You better telephone him then. Do your good deed for the day. There might be a pair of theatre tickets in it for you. Though the Daily Mirror says his latest one's going to be a flop.
Do you think I should? I mean, can you just telephone somebody like that?
Why ever not?
At 9:15 in the morning.
Go on, give him a try. If he's not up, leave a message with the maid.
Hello? I wonder if I might speak to Mr. Terence Rattigan, please. No, he won't know who I am. But if you tell him it's urgent, and it's concerning, Oh, what's his first name? Mr. Morgan's.
Kenneth. I think they call him Kenny.
Mr. Kenny? Kenneth Morgan. Yes, I'll hold the line.
What are you going to tell him? I'll just say an accident. Don't mention guessing himself.
Please, Mrs. Simpson. Oh, Mr. Rattigan? I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but I'm afraid there's been a sort of accident.
Good, good.
That's right. There's Mr. Morgan. Your number was in his address book. on the first page. Well, I'm not sure myself what happened exactly, but we found Mr. Morgan lying. Yes, gas. Poisoning.
Oh, but you've done it.
No, but we're not sure how serious it is. He doesn't know I'm telephoning, no. Mr. Lennox isn't here. We'd no idea how to contact him. That's why I looked in Mr. Morgan's address book, and... Yes. Yes, 27 St. Augustine's Grove. It's off York Way. Flat number 4, first floor. Thank you. Yes, the doctor's with him.
Struck off.
We're looking after him. He's coming straight round.
What? Here? Glory be. We've got the hoity-toities dropping in. Now, Mr. Harker Norris says he's no better than he should be. Theatricals. Not many of them fighting on the beaches, I can tell you. Still, I'd better take off my pinny.
He wanted to know if Mr. Lennox was here.
Oh, dear. I mean, you've not made more trouble for us ringing up like that.
So we're not making trouble for Mr. Ritter. This could make life difficult for him if, as you say, you know, he's been...
struck off. But what else could we do? A proper doctor would charge you 5 guineas.
How's the patient?
Are you here for a light?
Is it safe?
Perfectly.
Plenty of matches there on the mantelpiece.
Perhaps you could make Mr. Morgan some strong black coffee, Mrs. Simpson.
If you think it'd help, I'll go down. I like my own kitchen and my own things. I'll leave this door on the latch.
Have you lived here long?
About 10 years, since March 38.
I moved in about a year ago.
You don't know these two young men?
Only to say hello to on the stairs. I've managed to trace a friend of Mr. Morgan. He's coming over. Then I suppose I'll have to think about getting into the office. But there's nothing more I can do.
No, there's nothing you can do.
But you say he'll be all right?
Certainly.
He's not brain damaged or anything?
No, no, not at all.
Lucky the meter gave out.
Lucky, was it? A botched job. He bungled it good and proper, as Mrs. Simpson might say.
What about the state of the poor chap's mind?
His mind is perfectly sound, Mr. Lloyd.
But he just tried to kill himself.
So it would seem.
But why? What made him do it?
I expect he decided life was no longer worth living.
I can't imagine anything so terrible as a chap giving up on life.
Then you should count yourself fortunate in your lack of imagination. Well, I am ready for my breakfast. I've given him an injection. By this evening, he'll be fully recovered, so I will bid you good morning.
Good morning to you, Doctor. Sorry. Ought you to be out of bed, Mr. Morgan?
Oh, hello. You're Mr. Lord from upstairs, aren't you?
Lloyd. That's right. Number 7.
How do you do? And thank you for... I'm sorry, I'm going to have to sit down. I'm a little unsteady.
Only to be expected.
Do you have a cigarette? I thought we had some somewhere, but Alec must have smoked them all. Empty packets everywhere.
Surely.
Would you mind awfully giving me a light? My hands are shaking.
Of course.
Sorry.
Keep the rest of the packet. I have another in my overcoat.
I'll replace them when...
No need. It's just a packet of cigarettes.
Please don't be kind to me. I might burst into tears.
It's just a few cigarettes. I'm very lucky, you know.
Did you find me?
Yes. I smelled gas.
What an idiot I've been. Stupid, stupid accident. I can't think how it happened.
Glad I was able to help.
I've been to the cinema. It was so cold last night.
Yes, it was. The coldest night of the century, according to the BBC.
I came back here, turned on the fire to light it, and after that, couldn't find the matches, I suppose.
They were just here, on the mantelpiece.
The gas must have knocked me for 6.
Lucky you didn't put a shilling in the meter.
I'm sorry?
Yes. The supply cut off when the money ran out.
Oh, is that what happened? Yes, that was fortunate, wasn't it? Look, Mr. Lloyd, you've been terribly kind, and I really am most frightfully grateful, but I can't help feeling I'm keeping you from your work.
Go.
There's no need for you to stay with me any longer. I'll soon be my old self again.
Fact is, I have something to tell you, a sort of confession. I hope I've not done the wrong thing.
A confession? How very mysterious.
The fact is, I say, old chap, you appear to be looking for something.
It's not important. It's just I remember I was writing a letter when I...
It's on the mantelpiece. Mrs. Simpson put it there. You must have dropped it on the floor.
She didn't read it, did she?
No, and nor did I.
I'm sorry, that was very rude of me. Of course you wouldn't. It's just...
I telephoned a friend of yours.
Alec? But how could you...
No, we'd no idea how to get in touch with Mr. Lennox.
Oh, he's in Birmingham. An audition for The Rep with Barry Jackson. It was all very last minute. We were supposed to be going to the cinema together, but anyway, he'll be back later on. So whom did you contact?
Mr. Rattigan.
Terry? Why Terry?
It was the first name in the book.
I see. What did you say to him?
Only that...
You didn't give him this address?
I'm afraid I did.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry if I've done something wrong. I felt I had to do something. He'd said he'd come round.
You've not done anything wrong. It was very sweet of you.
I believe he's already on his way.
It doesn't surprise me. Terry has a strong sense of the dramatic.
Here we are. One very strong coffee.
Let me take the tray.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Simpson. Very thoughtful.
It's no trouble. Mr. Ritter said you could do with it. Should you be out of bed, though?
I'm feeling much better.
Time I was going, old chap. And I hope I haven't... Well, anyway, I hope you'll soon be feeling better.
I shall. Goodbye, Mr. Lloyd.
Goodbye. I don't know what you could have been thinking of, my boy.
I'm not sure what you're driving at, Mrs. Simpson.
Whatever came over you?
Just gave into despair, I suppose. Some evil angel must have been whispering in my ear.
You're not Roman Catholic, are you?
No. I heard the siren song and decided to take the plunge. Sink down into a sort of blue forgetfulness.
What you did last night was wicked and selfish. Very thoughtless and very selfish. It's then what's left behind us to clear up the mess. What about your friends and family?
I've lost touch with my family. I don't think they'd shed many tears over me.
That's selfish talk. Nothing but self-pity and selfishness.
I know that, Mrs. Simpson. It was a moment of weakness, as I say, and now it's over and done with.
How do you think you'd have felt if you'd come in here and found your friend Mr. Lennox lying cold in front of the gas fire?
I'd have been very surprised, but not for any reason you could imagine. Alec's not the type to go to the devil. I imagine it was all he could do to get himself ready to go to Birmingham. Anyway, he's not lying there, and nor am I. And when he comes in this evening, he must know nothing of what I... of my accident.
It's not money worries, is it?
No. I know we're a little behind with the rent.
I never mentioned the rent.
We've been a little low on funds for a month or two, but Mr. Lennox is hoping for a season in Birmingham.
Oh.
And I'm planning to go back to my work.
And what work might that be?
I used to make a good living from films.
Oh.
I earned rather a lot of money in a very short time, and I suppose I began to grow lazy. I'm going to take up where I left off. And until I've mended my fortunes, there's plenty I can sell. This cigarette case, for instance.
Oh.
Gold, you see.
Mm.
So you needn't worry about the rent. Sorry to speak so bluntly.
I said we weren't worried about the rent. What did you have to do with films?
I was in them.
Oh.
I was in French Without Tears. But that was... Good Lord, it must have been 9 years ago. Can it be that long?
I think I saw that one. Didn't have a Chinaman in it.
No, no, it didn't.
Pity. I like a play with a Chinaman in it. Oh, what's going on down there? Good Lord above. There's a ruddy great Rolls Royce pulled up. You don't see many of them in Camden Town.
It's Mr. Rattigan. Mrs. Simpson, I wonder if you'd be good enough to leave us alone for a while.
Oh, don't worry yourself. I wasn't thinking of intruding. I'll go down and let him in.
Thinking of?
Close the door, would you?
What have you done to yourself?
Nothing very serious. I'm quite well again, thank you.
You don't look it. What happened?
How much did that chap tell you over the telephone?
Enough. But it wasn't very hard to work it out.
I must be careful what I say. If I confess to trying to kill myself, you might report me to the police.
This is no time to be playing the fool, Kenny. Dear God! Were you trying to teach me some sort of lesson?
I never gave you a thought.
That's cruel. After all I have done for you, how could you?
I don't know. I... honestly don't know.
Oh, for the love of...
Something must have snapped in my head. I can't explain it to myself, or I'm sure I can't begin to explain it to you.
Spare me the hearts and flowers. This is just an act, Kenneth, and not a very accomplished one.
Oh? You used to say I was the most talented young actor you'd ever worked with. But of course, that was more than 10 years ago.
Kenneth!
When I was 19 and never been kissed. Somewhere along the line, I must have just lost it all. My talent, my looks, perhaps.
Kenny, I have been so worried about you. I've not known what to do with myself since you left.
Well, not what I heard. You've not exactly been leading the life of a monk.
Couldn't you at least have let me know where you were? Is this where you've been living? How can human beings live like this?
Oh, we manage somehow. Though quite often we're at our wits' end to know where the next case of Dom Perignon is coming from.
This is not a life. Not what I call living. Have you any idea what you've put me through?
You.
How long have you been living in this squalor? What possessed you to come here?
It's Alec's flat. When he moved in with me, he kept it on.
I should have known. Reeks of failure.
Well, we've been here 4 or 5 months. St. John's Wood was more comfortable, but I began to run out of money.
I'd have given you some.
That's rather the point, isn't it?
I'd have asked for nothing in return.
It wasn't your generosity I was running away from.
What was it, then?
Your dishonesty.
I'm not dishonest.
Oh, but you are. It was making me dishonest, too. I hated it. The deceit. If it had gone on any longer, I'd have started to hate you, too.
You might, at the very least, have answered my letters.
I never received any letters.
Really? We didn't know where you were, so I sent them care of Alec at the theatre where he was performing.
Which theatre?
Newcastle.
Well, he didn't go to Newcastle. There was some sort of mix-up. They asked him to play his cast and he was having none of it, so he came back to London. What did the letters say?
Oh, all the usual. That I know we can never be as we were, that I've accepted that you found someone else, something you could no longer have with me, but it upset me that after 9 years together we parted on such bad terms. I can't just sponge out of my life what you've been to me, nor have I any desire to do so.
It sounds like a speech.
Well, it wasn't true, of course. I couldn't admit to myself how deeply you'd hurt me. Wounded pride, I suppose. I can't bear the thought of you with that pretty little guttersnipe.
You didn't always feel that way about Alec.
Come back to me, Kenny. I want our old life back, our old way of rubbing along.
Rubbing along? Must be difficult for you, the man who has everything, to face the fact that there are some things he can't have.
You're making me feel helpless. And shallow. You know I'm not like that.
I know you believe what you say at the time you're saying it. Even so...
Oh, it was never that awful, was it? Yes, there were rows, but frankly, Kenny, we enjoyed them, didn't we? I know I did.
It wasn't the rows.
Ah, yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was. That's all it was. And you made too much of it.
Some of the things you said cut too deep.
The gloves came off at times, that's true. But I never meant what I said. I'm a writer. I never mean what I say. I never even believe what I believe. It's how I make a living. And I know that last time in Venice...
Oh, let's not.
I thought we cleared the air. You led me to believe so.
You'd better sit down now that you're here. Do you want a cigarette? There are some here somewhere, and rather too many empty packets.
Take my cigarette case. Help yourself. I'll not have one just for the moment.
Thank you, Terry.
Where is he?
Out of town.
Deserted you, has he?
Alec's not a deserter. Is that what you thought? Is that what you hoped?
Not a bit of it.
That's why you came, isn't it?
No, absolutely not.
Alec's in Birmingham.
Oh, God.
Actually, he'll be on the train back by now. I could never understand why you hate him with such a...
I can't help myself, I just...
You used to get on.
Well, that was before he stole you away from me.
Stole? You make me feel like a wallet or an umbrella. It wasn't his fault, you know, that I... It's unfair of you to blame him for... us.
I believe my judgment of that young man's character is sounder than your own. But it would be, wouldn't it? My feelings for you haven't changed either. 10 months.
It seems longer. Much, much longer.
Is he still being unfaithful to you?
No.
What made him change?
I've no wish to discuss it.
Do you believe he loves you?
As much as he ever did.
And you still love him?
Yes, Terry, I still love him. And I'm afraid that's not going to change.
Afraid of love, are you? That's an odd way of putting it. And why did you do it? Have you run out of money? Because I
can... Why does everybody ask that? No, it's not money.
He's not working at the moment.
He's at an audition in Birmingham. Barry Jackson's showing an interest in him.
I'll bet he is, that kibbered old queen. If Alec is planning to rent himself, he has no need to go as far afield as Birmingham. There are royal parks in London with many a shady nook. Gentlemen's clubs, public lavatories...
That's unworthy of you, Terry. If you're going to be vulgar, I should ask you to leave.
How old is he now?
20, just. Same age as I was when you and I worked together on French Without Tears.
So if neither of you is working, how do you manage for money?
Oh, for... Frankly, it's getting a little difficult. That's not why I tried to do away with myself, I've told you.
But you did try. There must have been a reason.
Must there?
Did you really mean to go through with it?
Yes, I did. It was just... I could no longer get a grip on the thoughts in my mind. Everything crowded in. I was overwhelmed by them. But I've no idea what finally pushed me over the edge. In the cold light of dawn, the whole thing seems absurdly immature. I can hardly believe myself capable of such stupidity. I'm deeply embarrassed.
But you must know what...
Are you being a writer? Are you taking notes?
When am I not?
Put it down to a moment of anger, I suppose. Rage. Hatred. Shame. Yes, there was a good measure of shame. I'm afraid I still feel it.
You were angry with him?
With Alec. When am I not angry with him?
And you hated him?
In that moment. But I hated myself more.
And the shame?
Shame of putting up with it.
Putting up with what?
Everything. Being forced to lead this sort of life.
This sort of...
Never being myself.
Oh, how absurdly melodramatic.
Oh, and which particular fantasy do you inhabit these days, Terry? You're worse than I am. You certainly know all about shame. You were always ashamed of me.
Oh, this one again. This is what it always comes back to. I thought you'd accepted it. You told me you had. I have two lives. A public life and a private life.
Never the twain shall meet.
Yes, and never the twain shall meet. I can never fathom why you wanted them to. The public me is paymaster to the private me. Isn't my private self enough for you? I can't understand what you've ever seen in the public face of Terence Rattigan. I've always thought it rather false. Even despicable. You can't tell me that you enjoy the act that I'm forced to put on for the newspapers and the newsreels. The smile for the camera, the interview for the BBC, the autograph at the stage door. Why would you want to be part of that? That's not me. You know that's not me.
When you introduced me to your parents, do you remember what you said?
Does it matter?
To me it does.
I'm afraid I haven't a clue.
You said, and here's young Kenneth. He's going to be an actor. I'm playing a few rounds at Sunningdale over the weekend, and he's very kindly agreed to help me carry my bags.
Ooh. Good Lord. Did I really? Is there nothing I can do for you?
If I think of anything, I'll let you know.
At least we're talking to each other again. That's good, isn't it? I do so want us to be as we were. Well, friends, at least. At ease with each other. There are very few people that I can...
Ah, I sense the delicate approach of a galloping cliché.
I can be myself with...
Send us a dinner invitation. Those heavy gold embossed cards you get from Smithson's.
Us? You mean you'd bring Alec?
I'm not ashamed of him.
I suppose I asked for that.
Yes, you did rather.
You still wear the watch I gave you?
Of course I do. I'll never part with it.
I'm touched.
I can't anyway. Has your inscription on the back rather too explicit, do you remember?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Just think what the News of the World would pay me for it. What would Mother say?
Oh, God!
A joke, Terry. It was a joke.
Yes, but it's true, you know. Frightens me. Terrifying. May I look at the watch?
Of course.
Ah. Anniversary present, wasn't it? 7 years since I met you.
No. 7 years since you got me into bed. I held you off for months. We were all being extra careful at the time, if you remember. Noel Coward had been ticked off by Sergeant Armfield of the Portsmouth Police for interfering with sailors. Accused Noel of lowering the whole tone of the war.
What do you do, you and Alec? I mean, what do you have in common?
Very little. He'd spend every evening in the World's End if I'd let him.
World's End?
It's a pub, Terry. A pub is a place where young men go to drink beer.
Oh, what a bore for you.
You can't imagine...
Kenny.
Yes?
Look, tell me it's none of my business, if you wish, but what exactly were you angry with Alec about?
It's none of your business. Lots of things. Always the same things.
Didn't you tell me that his feelings for you haven't changed?
They haven't. He felt very little for me when we first met, and he feels very little for me now. I look into his eyes. He glances over my shoulder. Always on the hunt for something more appealing.
How long have you known he feels this way?
From the first... when we began to sleep together.
But you told me...
Lies, probably. I can't remember how many lies I've told about Alec, for Alec, because of Alec. If anything, it's become rather a habit with me. A Pavlovian reaction. And however many lies I've told you, I've told myself far more. Funnily enough, I... find I can be honest with you now.
Why do you stay with him? Why does he stay with you?
I pay the rent.
How can you go on loving him if he gives you nothing in return?
Oh, he does give me something in return. Though he doesn't give it very often.
What?
Oh, you know what I mean.
Oh, God. Is that all you have left?
Oh, he's really very good at it. The bed thing. Ask anybody. Well, practically everybody, actually. Men, women, boys and girls. But then you'd remember, wouldn't you? I should think Alec would be a danger to the animals at London Zoo if he could stay sober long enough to climb the fence.
Leave him, Kenny.
He'd be lost without me.
Free yourself of him.
Oh, you know I won't. I told you I won't. What I mean to say is I can't.
Come back with me now, in the car, stay in the flat, think it over for a few days.
Flat F2, the Albany, the one you live in. Or flat B4, two floors up, the one you keep for guests and brief encounters.
I have to live on my own. Kenny, mother drops in all the time.
God, your bloody mother!
My bloody mother!
Does she know what you are yet? Has the penny dropped? It'd be more like a cast iron manhole cover dropping, actually.
She must never know. My secretary told me one of mother's friends once said that she thought I might be a little on the queer side, and mother flew into a rage, told her I couldn't possibly be, that I'd played cricket for Harrow School, and in the RAF during the war, I had been a rear gunner.
Well, she should know better than to drop in uninvited.
Well, she has a key to the flat.
I was never allowed a key.
You were. You had a key to B4. You still have it.
Yes. Somewhere. I thought for a moment you were going to say, but you had the key to my heart.
I do my best to avoid cliché, on this side of the Atlantic at any rate.
I'm not coming back to you, Terry.
I'm going to write you a cheque.
Don't. I'll only tear it up.
Pure selfishness on my part. I don't want the worry of knowing you can't make ends meet.
No. I'm sorry too, but no.
Is that him?
No. Alec has a key. It's his flat after all. Oh, come in, Mr. Ritter. This is the gentleman who looked after me after my accident.
Why are you out of bed?
Because there's nothing the matter with me. This is Mr. Rattigan.
How do you do?
Come over to the window. I need the light. Let's have a look. Your wrist. Yes. Eyes wide open. Show me your tongue. Good. Good. You'll live.
I intend to. I need to live till I'm 90.
I'm glad you hear it. Let's hope there are no more accidents then.
Mr. Ritter, I'm very grateful for your kindness to Mr. Morgan.
It was nothing.
No, all the same.
Now here's a rich man who looks as if he's about to offer a poor man money. Please, let's not go through that embarrassing rigmarole. I'm not a doctor. Give it to the St. John's Ambulance Brigade if you wish. You wouldn't want to insult me, would you?
Certainly not.
Put your money away, rich man. Good day, Mr. Morgan.
Unpleasant little fellow.
I'd have been in deep water without him.
Even so, not a nice man. He has the look of a backstreet abortionist.
Well, if you will come slumming it in Camden Town, what do you expect?
Fair point. Look, Kenny, if you're sure...
I will never, ever again do anything so foolish. Please don't worry about me, Terry. There's really no need. And I'm glad you came. I thought I wouldn't be, but I am.
What time are you expecting him back?
Who knows? This afternoon, this evening sometime?
My offer is still open. You have your key. Come any time.
Flat B4.
B4. That's how things are, I'm afraid. Do we... May I...
I think we'd better just shake hands, don't you?
Goodbye then, Kenny. You won't ever...
How many times must I say it? I shall live until I'm 90.
Please believe me when I say
goodbye,
that...
Terry.
Just one place for me near you.
Times when we're apart. Hey, old thing.
How did the audition go?
Oh, very well. I got the part.
Well, marvellous.
But I turned it down.
That's a shame. We could have done with the money. What part?
Well, more of a proposition, really. A seasoned spear-carrying with a starring role bent over Barry Jackson's rather splendid leather-top desk, I should think. So I turned him down, as I say. Actually, I said I'd need a day or so to think about it. He was positively drooling. Yes, dear boy, you think it over. Patted my backside as he showed me out. I thought he was going to grab my balls. I wonder if I'd have let him. I mean, fair's fair if it had been Hamlet or Romeo, but Third Citizen and Gravedigger's Boy, that won't get him his bit of slap and tickle.
Where did you stay?
Well, I had a bit of luck there. A girl I know was up for part two. She smuggled me into her bed and breakfast. Had to sleep on the floor. It was bloody freezing, but at least it does cost nothing.
That was fortunate.
We travelled back on the train together. And what's even luckier is I met another chap who owed me £5.
I hope he paid you. I could do with £3 for the rent.
Oh, the rent can wait a few more days, can't it? My chum's promised to send me a cheque after his play opens, end of first week, but he did give me this on account.
A bottle of whiskey. That was generous of him.
Yes, wasn't it? Anything happened? Have you been out?
I went to see the third man last night.
Any good?
Yes, I think so. I cancelled the restaurant.
Oh, Kenny, I'm so sorry. You were taking me to Rules, weren't you? Wasn't it some special occasion or something?
It was your birthday, Alec.
Oh, Lord, yes, it was, wasn't it? I'd completely forgotten. Oh, I don't know why you put up with me.
Oh, I think you do.
You didn't go to any trouble, did you?
It hardly matters.
I'm getting too old for birthdays anyway. We can celebrate any time. Any excuse for a celebration.
Tonight, then. Tonight shall be your birthday.
Wonderful! You can buy me dinner somewhere smart.
Promise?
Oh, cross my heart and hope to die. I promise, I promise, I promise. We'll go to the pub and have far too much to drink and have fun and be happy and let tomorrow take care of itself. Oh, Kenny, I've been stupid and thoughtless again, haven't I? I bet you had it all planned, bought me presents and everything.
You'll have to wait and see.
I promise I'll make it up to you.
Anyway, I don't think I could have faced a stint in Birmingham just at the moment. Just when I'm going back to work, now that my foot's in the door again.
Well, you mean you'd have come with me to Birmingham?
Of course. You know I would. Oh,
thanks, sweetie. You're a brick. I can always count on you, can't I? Good old Kenny. When did you say your film opens?
Paper Orchid. Next month. Though I'm hardly in it. Imagine as we speak my face is spread all over the cutting room floor.
Well, it's your first step on the road back and they paid you.
Yeah, not very much.
Enough to pay off most of what we owe. That's what matters.
But things really are rather difficult at the moment. It's not just the rent. We're going to have to sit down and put our heads together.
Well, I thought you were going to sell your cigarette case. And the watch.
Well, yes, I shall. The cigarette case anyway. I don't believe I mentioned the watch. I'm afraid selling the watch might be a bit of a problem.
Oh, why? You're not getting sentimental, are you, Kenny? Because he gave them to you. They're just things when all's said and done.
I'm not getting sentimental.
Well, what's the problem with the watch?
It needs repairing.
Give it to that little Jew upstairs. He's bound to know somebody.
Alec, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. Mr. Ritter's a very nice man, as it happens.
Is he?
I like him. And just because he's Jewish, I hate that sort of talk. It starts wars, you know.
Are we having a bit of a sulk? You know, you haven't looked at me once since I came in.
Haven't I?
No, Kenny, you haven't. So why am I in the doghouse? Because I forgot my own birthday?
No. But I do think we should at least try to pay the rent.
Money, money, money. On and on it goes.
Oh, Alec, let's not quarrel. I'm so pleased you're home. Last night was unbearably lonely without you. We can go to Rules any time. We'll go tonight.
Why not? I'm sorry, I'm being beastly to you. Actually, all our troubles will soon be over.
Really? How?
Tomorrow, I'm being wined and dined at the Ivy by a chap I bumped into in the urinals at Piccadilly Underground. He wants to photograph me in the nude. Says with my attributes, I'll make a mint. He's a well-respected supplier of filthy photographs to members of Parliament and the clergy.
You don't mean it?
No, of course I don't! Oh, Kenny, it was a joke. Meant to be. I'm trying as hard as I can to cheer you up.
I've got a bit of a head. I think I may lie down for half an hour.
Good idea. If you're going to be miserable on your own, I always say. Nipping out to the pub for a moment.
Are you meeting someone?
That girl I came down on the train with, Norma. I said I'd buy her a drink for putting me up.
Don't get sozzled. If we're going out later for dinner...
Don't worry, I'll just have the one.
You better, or you might not get your presents.
What have you got me?
I'm not telling you.
Have we any cigarettes?
On the arm of the chair. We can get more when we go out.
Right. What's this?
Before I took the sleeping pills, I knew exactly what I wanted to say.
Did you find them?
Yes, I've got them, thanks.
This time, I know I really am going to die.
Kenny! Kenny!
What is it?
This letter!
Oh, I tried to... That doesn't matter. It was a foolish mistake.
A mistake?
It won't happen again. It's nothing to worry about.
Well, then, that's all right.
Where are you going? Alec? Alec!
Times when we're apart.
I think you'd better go. He may come back.
Half an hour ago, you promised me he would.
Oh, half an hour ago, I'd have promised you anything. I don't know, I suppose it's unlikely. I wouldn't give a damn if he never came back.
I'd better get dressed.
Anyone would think I was married to him. I never asked him to arrange my bloody birthday.
My stockings?
Back of the chair over there.
Righto.
All this ruddy fuss. Gasses himself. Not that he ever meant to go through with it. I'll lay money. He engineered the whole charade just so I'd find that letter.
Do you really think so?
Well, would you gas yourself if I failed to turn up for an evening you'd planned? And I didn't even know about it in the first place?
No. You better get your clothes on if he's on his way back.
I had to go to bloody Birmingham, for God's sake. I have my career to think of. Do you want a scotch?
No. You asked me before. Do you have any squash?
No. Pass me the siphon, would you?
Could you do me up at the back, please? There must have been something else to make him want to.
There wasn't anything else.
Somebody else, then?
No, not that he ever knew about.
Have you been rowing lately?
No more than usual. Last blow-up was when he ran out of money and we had to move back here from Hamilton Terrace.
Lucky you kept it on. Where's my bag?
Where you left it, probably. Sitting room? Every chap needs a place of his own, for all sorts of reasons. But no flaming rows for months.
It must have been money worries. It usually is.
Yes, it's always either money or...
Or what?
Going through another sticky patch in the bedroom department.
Oh, yes.
His problem, not mine. Oh, damn it, Norma, I can't be at it morning, noon and night. I'm not a ruddy machine.
You could have fooled me, Alec.
Oh, I hardly know what to think. It's this love thing. It always gets in the way, fouls things up.
Always? That's a little...
I mean, I like Kenny well enough. We rub along pretty well, but moderation in all things. That's always been my motto. Good Lord, did we drink all that?
You must have.
As I said, it's time you were going.
Perhaps he regrets leaving Terry. I mean, why would anybody swap that sort of life for...
My God, it's so damned unfair. Suppose he'd bungled this stunt last night and actually managed to kill himself.
Poor Kenneth. Surely you can do something to reassure...
He'd have been out of it. And I'd have been left to face the music. Have you ever heard of anything so selfish?
Your tie's crooked.
I was in a really good mood when I got in from Birmingham, you know? Happy for once. And Kenny goes and pulls a stunt like this. I tell you, Norma, it's really knocked the stuffing out of me.
I wonder...
Oh, do shut up, Norma, would you? Trying to work something out. Nag, nag, nag. Do you want a drink?
No, I don't. I'm going home now.
Oh, no, really? Do you have to?
Hello. I'm Norma Hastings. You must be Kenny.
Kenneth Morgan. How do you do?
I'm a friend of Alex. We travelled down from Birmingham together.
Yes, Alec mentioned it.
I live in Battersea.
How lovely.
I was up for something at the Rep.
Did you get it?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
My congratulations. May I ask what part?
Oh, just various maids and court ladies.
Good. Then you've nothing to worry about. Not that you were ever in any real danger. Not at the Rep.
I'm not sure I follow.
May I have that letter, Alec?
Why?
Because it's mine.
My name was on the envelope.
It was undelivered. Give it back to me, please. Thank you.
What are you doing?
Tidying up.
That bottle of scotch is mine. I paid for it.
Oh, did you? Well, you'll find it in the cupboard when you want it.
I'm going, Alec.
Oh, why don't you both go back to the world's end? I'm expecting a friend. I think it would be better if you were out of the way, Alec. You've had rather a lot to drink.
I'm not drunk, Kenny. What friend?
Oh, you remember our discussion about the cigarette case? I think I may have found a buyer.
What do you say, Norma? Could you manage another? Drink?
It would be my first in point of fact. I suppose I could come with you.
Goodbye then, Miss Hastings. Excuse me, I need to get ready for my visitor.
How does he always manage to turn it round? He behaves like a complete idiot. Commits a criminal act, in fact, and treats me as if it were me in the wrong. One for the road.
Shouldn't you at least try and find out why he's so unhappy? Seems so callous and... cold-hearted.
No, I just want everybody to have fun, be happy.
Nobody's saying...
You're on his side now, are you?
I think you should come right out with it and ask him what's worrying him. How can you put things right if you won't speak openly and honestly?
No. Things can't be put right. I showed you what he wrote in the letter. He's given up on me. He wants me to love him. I don't, and I can't. And I never have loved a chap. It's not in my nature, and what's more, it's unnatural.
Then why don't you tell him that?
Because I don't want to hurt him. I wish to God he'd go back to bloody Terry. Ah, Mr. Ritter, is it? Have you come to see Mr. Morgan?
Yes.
About the cigarette case?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it must be you who wanted to buy it, you being...
It's you? No, I'm not a pawnbroker. Sadly, I looked after Mr. Morgan when he had his accident. I've called to see how he is.
Ah, yes, the infamous unfortunate accident. Do come in. This is Miss Hastings, by the way.
How do you do?
Care for a whiskey?
Yes, thank you.
Soda?
A splash?
And shall we drop all the accident rot? A word in your ear before Mr. Morgan appears. You spoke to him first. What did he say to you?
You hoped to discover why he did it?
Rather.
Can't help you, he said nothing to me.
It must remain a mystery, then. We have to believe he did it just because I failed to turn up for some cosy little dinner a deux he'd set his heart on.
It's as good a reason as any other.
What? You think it reasonable for a chap to take his own life because you missed dinner?
Not at all. If I missed dinner, I doubt Mr. Morgan would mind very much.
Well, but because I missed my birthday treat, something I'd rather forget anyway, he gasses himself. It's my fault then, mine alone.
Yes.
Well, so what do you think I should do about it?
Well, there, I can't help you. I've no experience in such matters. I've never done anything that would cause a young man to try to kill himself. Not as I remember.
I say that's a bit strong.
Shut up, Norma. Another drink, Mr. Ritter?
Yes, thank you.
My God, finish the bottle. Siphon?
Thank you, just a splash.
Whatever it was I'm guilty of, if it was indeed my fault, as you suggest, I have to say I'm probably going to do it again. And again and again. I can't help being what I am.
I'm sure you can't.
And you know, the fact of the matter is, I rather like myself. I'm happy the way I am.
Good luck to you. You're very young. Why shouldn't you be happy?
And I don't intend to change. I think I rather like you too. You speak your mind. Shall we continue this conversation at the World's End?
If you wish.
I'd like to buy you a drink.
I'd like that too.
Come on then. Norma?
No. I think I'd better go home, Alec.
Suit yourself. Mr. Ritter, here we go.
Oh, hello.
Good evening, Mr. Morgan.
Is it a party?
I'm going to the pub, Kenny. Will you be all right? Mr. Ritter's coming too.
Good. I'm glad.
Shall we go then?
You go on ahead. I'll follow you in a moment. I need to have a word with Mr. Morgan.
As you wish. I'll set them up then. Goodbye, Kenneth.
Do you know how long you'll be?
No.
Goodbye, Mr. Morgan. I do hope that...
Thank you for looking in on me. I'm all right now. I don't think there's any need to take my pulse.
Don't worry about your friend. I'll look after him.
You've been my good angel.
I believe he's intending to cast me in the role of his conscience.
His conscience? Do you think he has one? I've never found it.
The truth is he's deeply ashamed of himself.
Ah, shame again.
Just at the moment he wants somebody to challenge him, to punish him, perhaps. Somebody anonymous. I believe that's why he's asked me along.
Are you a psychoanalyst?
Not really, but I was born in Vienna. It must be something they put in the water over there.
Everything comes back to shame, doesn't it?
I'd better go and find Mr. Lennox before he falls over.
You're very kind.
Ah, Mr. Rattigan, have you come to buy the cigarette case?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Hello, Terry. Thank you for coming.
The front door was open, so I came straight up. Good evening, Mr. Ritter. I came as soon as I got your note.
Yes, I couldn't telephone. I thought your people might recognise my voice, and I didn't want that.
Was that Alec leaving as I arrived?
Yes, it might have been.
With a girl?
Yes. Did he see you?
No, I turned my back and I crossed the street, but...
He didn't see the rolls.
I came in a cab. And I don't suppose he noticed anything very much. He was obviously very drunk.
He may have had a glass of beer or two, but he doesn't get drunk anymore.
Why do you go on protecting him?
Habit, I told you, a reflex.
You're coming back to the Albany. Is that why you sent the note? Kenny, what's wrong with you?
I feel as if I've swum out to sea. Way, way out of my depth. My head keeps dipping under the water and it's your hand I'm reaching out for. That doesn't mean I've decided to come back to you. All it means is...
Kenny.
This love thing's just a rather poor joke on us all, don't you think, Terry?
Well, it provides me with a good living.
I know perfectly well what I should do. I know what common sense requires of me. My brain tells me one thing, and my heart, wherever that is, tells me the opposite. It just insists on breaking all the rules, so I do nothing. So
I want you to be with me. My own mind is very clear on that point.
In your heart, Terry, but not in your flat. Not in F2. You're such a coward! I wish I hadn't drunk all the whiskey.
Should we go out? The Savoy? If you're hungry, or we might go to the Ivy? It'd be like old times.
Yes, it would. That's what I'm afraid of.
Better than this, wouldn't you say? No strings.
No strings? Well, no, I'd better stay and wait for him to come home.
If only I'd never rented that villa in Sunningdale.
You wanted to be out of London, so you could work on whatever you were writing at the time.
Adventure story. You were never keen on Sunningdale. You'd have preferred Capri.
Frankly, I'd have gone anywhere with you, so long as it was a long way away from your mother.
Oh, she'd have followed us to Capri.
Well, she was very much in evidence at Sunningdale, forever tracking us down, sniffing the air for a whiff of... What was her word for it? Nastiness. Panting like one of the Furies in the Oresteia. She must have known what you and I were up to. Your mother's a monster, but she's not stupid. She's a diplomat's wife. She thrives on intrigue.
Mother suspects nothing. See, I've created a fabric of lies, woven with false trails and dead ends to put her off the scent. And I've told Mary Herring to drop broad hints that I'm getting rather close to Margaret Leighton.
Fornication with an actress is perfectly acceptable in your mother's world, is it? Normal behaviour, in fact, given your father's endless infidelities. She just looks the other way. But to know her son's a bugger!
She must never know the truth. It would kill her.
Well, fate certainly caught up with us at Sunningdale, even if Mother didn't.
Alec, I will never forgive myself.
Oh, yes, you will. You always do.
I'm very, very ashamed.
What's to be ashamed of? It's not your fault. You've inherited a weakness for hanky-panky from your father. It's just that his tarts all happen to be girls, as far as we know.
I never managed to work Alec out. He never seemed to want anything from me.
It was your public face. Your fame. He hoped some of it might rub off.
I didn't enjoy him. He was cold. Brittle. There was nothing engaging about him.
Poor Terry. Always looking for love and finding only fame and sex.
I knew it'd be you, Terry. Couldn't think of anybody else who'd come to Camden Town dressed for a night at the opera. And there was something furtive about the way you scuttled across the road.
Where's Mr. Ritter? Did you leave him at the World's End?
We didn't go to the World's End. He took me to the Italian and made me drink iced water and pints of black coffee.
Terry came round because someone telephoned him about my accident.
Oh, he's heard about the accident, has he?
Yes.
Still making more money than you know what to do with?
Yes.
Still at the Albany?
Yes.
Still got the Rolls Royce and chauffeur?
Yes.
Still in love with Kenny?
Alec, for God's sake, go to bed and sleep it off!
Do you see how he bosses me around, Terence? Did he used to boss you around? Or did you stamp your foot and send him to his room? His room two floors up.
Don't be a bore, Alec. Do as Kenny says. You'll be ashamed of yourself in the morning.
Ashamed of myself? Oh, not me, old fruit. Shame's more in your line.
I'm sorry.
The answer to his question is yes, you know.
Please don't.
There's no need to say anything.
I don't know what to do.
Listen to me. If you're not ready to come back to the flat, if you need time to think things over, I'll take a room for you at the Savoy.
You always were so kind.
What do you say? Kenny.
Don't think me rude. I think you'd better go. This is how he is. In the morning he'll feel like death. He'll be angry. Then the tears will start. I have to stay with him.
Telephone me in the morning. Early. I'm off to Liverpool. Adventure Stories at the end of its pre-London run.
I will. I'll phone.
Though I don't absolutely have to go to Liverpool. If there's...
Anything you can do. Yes. Thank you. There is one thing, actually. Take back the watch.
You're returning my gift?
Keep it safe for me until all this has blown over. Then I'll ask for it back.
Do you mean to tell me that he would steal your watch?
Probably not, but the inscription... When he's drunk, he sometimes does things without thinking.
As bad as that?
Terry, please go.
Promise me you'll telephone?
Yes.
No, but promise.
Take the watch. It's safer with you at the moment. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Kenny.
Alec? Alec, let me in. Don't play the fool. Alec, don't be such a child. Let me in. Oh, don't we look smart? Are we going out?
I am.
I'm weary of this whole thing, Kinney. All this self-dramatization. You want drama? Ask Terry to take you back and put you in one of his frothy little plays, why don't you?
Where are you going?
To see a man about a job.
What man?
A man in films. He gave me his card. He said if I ever needed...
What's his name?
Hurst. I called him from Euston. When I realised the Birmingham thing might not work out, he said to call round any time.
Couldn't you leave it until the morning?
He keeps late hours.
Well, you've never mentioned Mr. Hurst before.
Do you think he doesn't exist? Do you imagine I'm a liar?
No, Alec, of course not. Your tie's crooked. Let me look at it.
I couldn't find a clean shirt.
The laundry's so unreliable. This is the second week it's happened. But you can't go out in that one. It's been to Birmingham and back.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
To take it off. As it happens... Well, perhaps it's time I gave you your present.
What? Well, I hope you've not been spending money on me we can't afford. What present?
It's your birthday, isn't it? Well, it was.
Oh, Kenny, don't start.
I'm not.
I don't need birthday presents.
Take off that shirt. I'll put it in the basket. You really are hopeless, you know. Come on. Take it off. Wait there. Here. Many happy returns.
It's a shirt, isn't it? Obviously. Has to be.
Well, it's it. Open it and see.
I knew it. Oh, bloody hell. Turnbull and Asser, what have you done? Really, Kenny, it's too much. Where did you get the money from?
Well, it's one of mine. Never worn. It's a good one. Sea Island cotton. I still have a few smart things left.
And a tie. I suppose Terry gave them to you?
And what does it matter? You'd have ended up wearing it anyway.
I would, wouldn't I?
What's mine is yours. Well, put it on. Got to look your best. My things always look better on you.
They do. Hardly seems fair.
So let me do the cufflinks for you.
No, but not the tie. It doesn't go. Does it?
No, not really. Well, what's the job?
Oh, you know how it is. He didn't say. I met him at a party. He took a fancy to me and said if I ever needed help to call him.
I bet he did.
So I telephoned. I never thought for a moment he'd remember me, but he did. Absolutely did. I'm not expecting a starring role or anything like that, but it will be something towards the rent.
That would be wonderful, Alec. I suppose you must mean Brian Hurst.
Oh, that's the chap.
I believe he's been helpful to a number of young men. You'd better let me give your shoes a polish too. Looks as if you brought home half of Birmingham on
them. No, Kenny, let's stop this. We both know perfectly well I'm talking rot. The fact is, I have to get away from you for a few days, away from this place. You're smothering me, and I need some fresh air. I need to find some work. You're not my mother, you know?
But if you want...
No, Kenny, I have to have my say. It's taken quite an effort to get things clear in my mind, and if I let you interrupt me, I'll never say what I need to say. You can talk the hind leg of a donkey, you know, so please. I know you think I don't love you. If I'm being blunt and brutal and bloody callous, and I know you'll take this the wrong way, I don't love you. Not in the way... You mean love. I simply don't know what your sort of love is. I've never felt as strongly about anybody as I do about you. My feelings for you are like none I've ever experienced with anybody else. But there's no trust between us anymore. That there's suspicion and manipulation and evasion. And at the bloody bottom of it all is that we've lost the trick of making each other happy. Or perhaps my happy is not and can never be your happy. I know... I risk hurting you, but just remember, I'll suffer just as much as you do, if not more. In everything I do, I fall short. I can never be what you want me to be. I've always known that. But the thing is, Kenny, the thing is, you're forever reminding me of it, that I'm not up to the mark. You don't mean to, it's not your fault, but I've seen it in every look you've ever given me. You can't help what you are. Isn't that what you wrote in the letter? Your suicide note. From the beginning, I was just another of Terry's renters. I'm a slut. I can't even keep my bloody shoes clean. My shine will never live up to your impossible demand for brightness.
Oh. Well,
I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Because I know there's something better for you. It's probably just around the corner. You know, I still don't think you've grasped just what reading that letter did to me. You were making me responsible for your death. It wasn't far short of an accusation of murder.
and give me a shock of my life. It was such a bloody selfish thing to do. How do you think that made me feel?
I think you'll feel differently in the morning. It's too late to go out now, apart from which you can't hope to make a sensible decision about anything this evening. Not after a bottle of whiskey.
If I don't go now, in the morning we'll argue and you'll be right and you'll win the argument. And I'll sit over there by the window, quietly being wrong, while you sit here by the fire, sulkily being right.
I won't say a word, I promise. The sun will come out and all this will be forgotten. But stay tonight, that's all I ask.
It won't do, Kenny.
Just for tonight.
I've said no.
It's such a little thing to ask. I never knew you could be so cruel.
Oh, yes, you did. But what you call cruelty, I call survival. I have to go, Kenny. I have to give it a try. I make you wretched. And I don't want you being wretched. I don't want your death on my hands. To think of you lying there in front of the fire, knowing I drove you to it.
I swear I'll never do that again.
Oh, don't cry. You'll have us both in tears. And I have to be strong for once, Kenny. I really must, for both our sakes.
I just have to get used to the idea of your going. I'm sure I will, but not tonight, Alec. Don't go tonight.
I have to. My mind's made up. Don't try.
I'll pack a suitcase for you in the morning.
It's packed. But I'll have it collected when I know where I'm going to be.
What about your birthday dinner? You promised me.
Kenny, look at us. Do you really think either of us is in the mood to sing happy birthday?
Don't leave me.
It's for the best, Kenny.
Don't leave me.
When you come to your senses, you'll thank me for it.
Don't go. Please say you'll come back.
I have to get things clear in my mind.
But you might come home.
I don't know.
Leave me something to hold on to.
Kenny.
A shred of hope. Say you'll come back to me.
If I do, you'll have to stop clinging to me. Things will have to be different.
They will. I promise you they will.
When you pull yourself together, we'll discuss it. But not now. Not now.
I don't want to be alone. Don't leave me on my own. No. Don't leave me.
I do know how late it is, but I've been telephoning this number for some time. Hello? Hello? Oh, God. What am I going to do? Hello? Is that the world's end? No, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. That might be him now. Terry! Oh, God.
What's happened?
Kenny?
I'll be all right in a minute. Sit down, let me get you a drink. There's no bloody scotch. He's drunk the whole bloody bottle.
Steady on, there's no need.
Please don't.
Where is he?
He's gone. Left me.
Didn't I warn you?
What am I going to do, Terry?
Isn't it obvious? You're coming home with me to the Albany. I should have made you come with me this morning. I'd never forgive myself.
What made you come here?
Well, Mary said you'd telephoned, and I got in. She said you sounded...
I told her not to bother you.
Oh, thank God she did.
But you have to go to Liverpool in the morning.
I don't have to go anywhere.
You do, you must. It's your play.
It's not important, just a play. Was it a row?
He told me the truth, that's all. Nothing I didn't know already. I've been expecting it for weeks. Sword of Damocles and all that. Since we had to leave St. John's Wood, I've been waiting for the blow to fall, bracing myself for some disaster. It didn't lessen the shock when it came. He said, "We've lost the trick of making each other happy." He was wrong about that too. I've never been sure of him. I see that now. Never at peace, never content, just anxiously waiting for happiness to begin. It never did. It's desperate, isn't it? Don't you think affection is rather important too? I do. He's incapable of affection.
I wish you'd sit down, try to calm yourself. Alec was drunk when he left.
Does it matter? Yes, he was drunk. He's drunk most of the time. My fault again. He says I smother him. I mother him and I smother him. It's quite true. I know I do. I catch myself doing it, but I can't stop myself.
If you won't come back to the Albany, Come to Liverpool with me. It'll take you out of yourself. I'd love to hear what you think of my new play. I've always valued your advice.
It's sweet of you, but no, I don't think so.
In a few days, when you have calmed down, you will see things in a different light. You just need time to distance yourself from all of this. I'll get Mary to book you into the Adelphi.
Adjoining suites. All very discreet, just like the old times.
Whatever you like. Your terms. Your choice.
Well, the chambermaids giving each other knowing looks. The page boys with just the right degree of insolence in their smarts as you overtip them. Would you be wanting anything else, sir? A nod and a wink? I rather think I've had enough of all that.
From now on, we will play by your rules. I promise.
God, what on earth possessed you to write a play about Alexander the Great?
Fathers and sons, you know, my old theme.
If you stopped trying to please your father and mother and tried to lead a life of your own, you might surprise yourself and be happy. I'm sorry.
I've never needed to please Mother. She's always adored me. Always will.
So long as she never finds out about your nastiness. Your nasty little secret.
Kenny.
Yes, Kenny, me. You can't deny I was a secret. And your need for secrecy certainly made me feel dirty. Such shame. I never heard Alexander kept young Hephaestion locked away in his attic.
I don't imagine he had an attic. And certainly he didn't face public humiliation and imprisonment for his love. Anyway, I couldn't put that side of things into my play.
That side of things? You're such a coward. You don't love, you're incapable of it. Just like Alec. But unlike him, you talk about nothing else. You bill yourself as a romantic, but for you, romance ends in humiliation and self-loathing. You could never hide the fact that the act disgusted you. Think how that made me feel. The only thing I had to offer disgusted you. The hard truth is there was never any hope for us. We few, we unhappy few, we band of buggers. So let's drop it, shall we?
You're wrong about what I feel. You're wrong about everything.
I said let's talk about something else.
Have you been able to make any plans, or is it too early for that?
Plans are for those who can afford them.
I can help you.
Thank you. I've made a start. A month ago, I got myself a part in a film.
A Paper Orchid, yes, I knew that too. Hugh Williams and Sid James. Not much of a film, I hear.
I hated it. Starting again at the beginning, being at the bottom of the pile, back where I was 10 years ago. So full of hope, so much promise. Only 10 years older. There's a boy in the cast. Very striking looks. You could have used him to sell blazers and cashmere sweaters. He'd been taken up by some rich old queen who'd promised to put him through the RADA. And I looked at him in the golden morning of his youth and I thought, there but for the grace of God go I. And then I thought, but God's not been very gracious, has he? Not in my case. That boy's case is my own. A collectible. Like your impressionist oil paintings, your Tuscan damasks and your Baccarat glassware. You kept me up in B4 waiting for the telephone call. Calm down, Kenny. I've just opened a bottle of 43 Dom Perignon. Calm down, Kenny. I fancy a glass of Montrachet, a stuffed olive and a quick fuck.
I gave you so much because I loved you.
The more you gave, the more I saw nothing was my own.
You find it preferable to sit here, in squalor, living with a boy who gives you nothing because he has nothing to give.
Oh, there's still the odd quick fuck.
Don't be disgusting.
Yes, disgusting, isn't it? Nasty, nasty, nastiness. Come back to the Albany where bugger is perfectly respectable. Alex gone. I don't want to quarrel with you. I did once have something to give you. Something of myself. But I placed a high value upon it. And you, none at all.
Was it so very terrible? Nobody can be happy always. But we did have good times. I don't think you deny it. Believe whatever you like about my feelings for you. I think that I've proved to you over and over again that I am a constant and loyal friend. In my heart, though I can't make you see it, I know myself to be more than that. Much, much more. But for the present, friendship should be enough. Until you're out of this wretched quagmire. Kenny, there are limits on what we can be to each other, in public at least. I don't see that it would help either of our cases to be locked up in prison. Not even together in the same cell. I may be your only chance.
You want me to come back and live with you at the Albany?
It's the only thing I want.
In flat F2?
No.
I'll think it over.
Do you promise?
I promise.
Come to Liverpool tomorrow. You need to be out of this awful place.
There's so much of him here. Who is it?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Good evening, Mrs. Simpson.
Lord Lummy, rot in the air, smear me pinny.
We're hardly royalty, Mrs. Simpson.
Where are you from? Oh, I'm so sorry. It's just that I thought our young gentleman might like a milky drink. Help him get a good night's sleep. I'm sure he needs one.
A very kind thought, Mrs. Simpson. Thank you.
Let me take the tray from you.
Oh, you've no need to worry. I wasn't thinking of stopping. I could bring another mug if you was wanting one.
No, thank you so much. In point of fact, I was just leaving.
Oh, you'll see he's all right, I'm sure. If there's anything you need, Mr. Morgan, you've only to ask. However bad things get, they always look better after a mug of Ovaltine and a good night's sleep. You've only to ask. I'm sure your friends will see you right.
Depend upon it, Mrs. Simpson.
I'll say good night and cheerio then. Good night, sir.
Good night, and thank you.
No need to wash the mug up. I'll come for the tray in the morning.
People are so kind.
They are, if you'll let them be. Come to Liverpool. I'll have Mary telephone the Adelphi.
No, I don't know. It's too sudden. I couldn't be ready by tomorrow.
Just bring a toothbrush. We'll buy your luggage when you get there.
I'll telephone in the morning.
Early, then. I'm booked on the 10:37. I'll send the car for you.
I'll telephone.
I promise you'll not regret it.
I have to leave things here in good order.
Start again.
I wouldn't want Mrs. Simpson to think I've done a moonlight flit. There's the rent to be paid.
How much do you need?
Oh, no, Terry, I didn't mean... I don't
I want... insist. How much do you owe? 10? 20?
£3.
Dear God, 3 miserable pounds. How the other half live. There are 4 £5 notes.
But I don't need...
I imagine you have other debts. I'll not take no for an answer.
You never would.
I'll leave it on the mantelpiece.
It's a loan.
So I'll go then. Leave you to work things out.
Thank you, Terry. I'll do that. I'm sorry if I've been beastly to you. I said such dreadfully hard things.
I'm glad we've wiped the slate clean.
Kindness, you know, is sometimes difficult to take. The most difficult thing of all.
I understand.
There'll be no more foolishness. Not of the gas tap variety, at any rate.
Promise?
I promise.
Your telephone?
First thing in the morning. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Sleep. What do you want?
Open the door.
Won't it wait until morning?
You're very well, it won't.
One moment. Now that you're here, Mr. Ritter, I wonder if I could trouble you for a sleeping pill, if you have one.
Not a chance.
It's just that...
It's lucky for you, or unlucky for you, I suppose I should say, that I happen to be coming up the stairs. Just as you put a rug across the door to stop gas escaping into the rest of the house, huh? Wasn't that the plan?
That's absurd.
I saw the light under your door. I saw it blocked out.
Why can't everybody leave me alone?
Because you're not safe, Mr. Morgan, are you? Oh, I'm not talking about your own safety. In ordinary circumstances, I believe any man has a right to choose whether he lives or dies, but not this way, not with gas. The whole house could go up. You can make provisions for your own exit if you're really determined enough, but kindly don't meddle with my life. Then there's Mr. Lloyd upstairs and Mrs. Simpson.
I didn't think...
No, you didn't think, did you? But now you must. I can't stop you killing yourself. I wouldn't advise it, not while the balance of your mind is disturbed, as it clearly is. But if you have the courage to do it, and you've proved twice now that you have that courage, I don't see that anybody in the world can prevent you. As a bystander, as... somebody more inclined to pass by on the other side of the road, I can tell you honestly that I have no wish to interfere. It's not my business. Unfortunately, for me as a doctor, even as a doctor who has been struck off,
There is an impulse still which prompts me to save life, even your life, Mr. Morgan.
It's not worth saving, not to my mind.
Oh, you child, petulant child! Because your lover abandons you, your life is over.
My lover?
I have eyes. I have ears. It's not that difficult to put two and two together. Mr. Lennox has abandoned you. He told me he was planning to. Drunks talk. It's difficult to stop them talking.
He's not abandoned me. He needs time to think things
over.
He's
gone. Face it. He's not coming back. What you can't see and what I can is that it's the best thing that's happened to you in a very long time. Of course you can't see it. I know you can't see it now. I'm not a fool. Let me speak to you as a doctor. Let me speak about things I know. It's a sickness, you see. If I were treating you for influenza, say, or glandular fever, I'd tell you that you were going to feel rotten for a month, but then with the right treatment, the right care, you'd get over it, you'd be up and about and ready to face the world again.
Oh, you make it sound so trivial.
In the great scheme of things, it is trivial. You're hurt, you're suffering. It is trivial. I am of a people. A race that knows a thing or two about suffering. We've had rather a rough time of it over in Europe for the past few years. You may have read something about it in the newspapers. I'm trying to show you how trivial you are. That's all. You went to your little love affairs. Some people have no choice about life and death. Some people, many hundreds of thousands, millions of my people would choose life over death. But they had no choice. Even if they wanted to live very much indeed. You, we inhabit a country where we have a choice about these things. But when I see you making the wrong choice, fiddling with your little gas tap, you'll forgive me if the irony of that makes me want to throw up. When I see that, I forget I'm a doctor. I forget I'm struck off. I forget you're none of my business and it's your own choice. And I want to shake you. I want to slap you like a child. Send you to your room and tell you to come back when you've learned how to behave yourself.
I've given up hope.
Shame on you, then. You have to work for hope. You have to go out and look for it. It takes backbone. At the moment, you're spineless, gutless. But that's the sickness. Your courage will come back. Mine did. I was struck off for following the dictates of my conscience. I went to the medical authorities and told them what I'd done and why. I can tell you I came pretty close to the gas fire myself on more than one occasion. But enough. Enough. This is what I prescribe. Get out. Get out of this flat. Do something different. Anything. Go somewhere. To the seaside. Walk on the beach. Look at the sea. Go to the forest. Get a spade and dig a deep hole. Anything. I'm not saying you won't feel pain. You will. You will suffer, but the treatment will work. You'll recover. That's my professional opinion. 2 years ago, I'd have been able to charge you 5 guineas for it. Now I can't.
And worth every penny.
Well, I'm going now. Will you follow my advice?
I will. I promise I will.
What will you do?
A friend has invited me to Liverpool to see his play.
Mr. Rattigan?
Yes. I've made up my mind not to go because, well, you know why. Now I think I will.
Good.
I'll try. I might fail. There's so much against me. I can't see there's much to hope for.
Make hope. Then it begins.
Do you think I can?
Well. Time will tell. Call on me in a couple of weeks. Goodbye for the time being.
Goodbye, Mr. Ritter. Terry? Sorry to phone so late. Yes, look, the thing is I've decided to take you up on the Liverpool thing. Yes, I've thought about it and I can't see it'll do any harm. It might help me to put everything into some sort of... if you're still... That's very sweet of you. I've nothing to wear, no evening clothes, I mean. Things have been allowed to slide over the last few weeks. Would you? About what time? Very well, I'll be ready. I'll watch out for him. Thank you. Thank you. Until tomorrow, then.
Alec?
I've come for my case. Decided on Birmingham, after all. I don't have much choice, do I? Stay with the Nortons tonight. Get the first train. Where did this money come from?
Terry lent it to me for the rent.
The rent, eh? Meaning me? How funny. You don't mind if I borrow it, do you? What's the rent? 3? If I leave you 5, there'll be some left over.
I could come with you to Birmingham.
No, you couldn't.
Well, are you coming back here after Birmingham when you've thought things through? What do you want me to do?
Well, frankly, Kenny, I've no idea what you should do or what you could do or may do or might do. It's not for me to say. You're not my affair. Were I you, were you me, were I you, what would I do? Who knows? But what you will do, and this is one thing of which I'm certain, is crawl back to Terry. He'll forgive you. You'll kiss and make it up, pick up where you left off, and go back to your comfortable old life. Let's face it, old fruit, it wasn't so bad, was it? Flat in the Albany, the Rolls Royce and chauffeur, the champagne, the caviar, foie gras and truffles. Better than slumming it with me in Camden Town, wasn't it? So chin up, lie back and think of England.
No, it wasn't so bad.
Oh, put clean sheets on the bed before you go, will you, sweetheart? The grubby ones go in the basket. Do you remember the laundry basket? This is my flat, you know. Hearth and home, such as it is. And it's been getting awfully seedy since you invited yourself in.
I'm sorry.
Can't see what you've got to look so miserable about. You know, perhaps the best thing for you, best for all of us, actually, is to go ahead and gas yourself. And if you do, for God's sake, make a proper job of it this time. No regrets, no looking back, no bungling. Make it clean. Here. Shilling for the meter.
In Kenny Morgan by Mike Poulton, inspired by Terence Rattigan's play The Deep Blue Sea, Kenny Morgan was played by Paul Keating, Mrs. Simpson by Annette Badland, Norma by Ella Chapman, Ritter by Anton Lesser, Mr. Lloyd by Kerith Flynn, Terence Rattigan by Max Irons, and Alec by Callum Lynch. It was directed by Marina Calderoni and was a peer production for BBC Radio 3.
If you are suffering distress or despair and need support, a list of organisations that can help is available online at bbc.co.uk/actionline. Or you can call for free to hear recorded information on 0800 066 066. Next Sunday, Radio 3 presents a bold new adaptation of Pam Jem's powerful stage play Camille. This eternal story of desperate dilemmas in pursuit of love has taken the form of a novel in Alexandre Dumas' La Dame aux Camélias, which went on to inspire Verdi's La Traviata. This is the first adaptation for radio of Pam Jem's version and takes place in mid-19th century Calcutta. Camille is at 8 o'clock next Sunday evening here on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music.
The place where we celebrate live music and the musicians who perform it.
What he thought would be a small chamber music workshop turned into a full orchestra.
I've been given carte blanche to dig into the different ways gardens and music influence each other.
Music is about people, it's about people coming together.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music. The perfect soundscape for whatever you're doing. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, and on BBC Sounds.
Now here on Radio 3, we're going to focus on one of our new generation artists. The scheme gives a platform to some of the best musicians at the start of their international careers. Six musicians join each year for a period of 2 years and get to perform at some of the UK's biggest festivals and venues, as well as appearing on programmes here on Radio 3. Tonight, we have performances by Georgi Gigashvili, a current new generation artist, with music ranging from Chopin to Messiaen by way of a film soundtrack from his native Georgia. Born in Tbilisi in the year 2000, Georgi became a star in his home country when he won the TV talent show The Voice at the age of just 13, before going on to concentrate on the piano. Since then, he's won major prizes at some of the leading piano competitions and has rapidly made a name for himself as one of the most original voices in the piano world. He begins now with Chopin's Waltz, Opus 34, No. 2, in A minor.